It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, there's a song that's titled Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Living for the Lord. What a great life it is, living and serving the Lord today. Living for Him. And we want to look today in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at several different scriptures, but we're going to look at something first. And you've heard that old saying, put first things first. Well, that's what we're going to do today in just a few moments. Well, let me invite you to look at our website today. One of our websites is lrwm.org, or you can go to itsagoodliferadio.com. Now, on either of those websites, you can go there, and there's a place where you can leave a prayer request. And I'd like to pray with you today about any requests that you have. If you'll go there and fill that little question thing out there, you don't have to put a lot of things on there. Just put on there what it asks, and this is really a private website, a private email that I will see, and we keep things private. And if you will go to one of those websites today and leave a prayer request, I'll be glad to pray with you. And I want to hear about answered prayer that you have. Send me another note and let me know that God has answered prayer in your life. God does answer prayer, and we need to depend upon Him to answer prayers that we take to Him. Now, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says there, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, the first thing to seek is the kingdom of God. Well, in that verse it says to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what things does the scripture speak of here? If you look back in Matthew chapter 6 and read all through the verses there, especially verse 25 through 32, well, let's go ahead and read verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Now you keep on reading and it will talk about the lilies of the field. They don't have to worry about anything. They're beautiful anyway. And the birds, they don't take thought for what they're going to eat. The Lord takes care of that. So why should we take thought for what we have need of? We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And Mark chapter 8, verses 35 through 38, the Bible says this, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's," and of course this is Jesus speaking, "the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels." Well, now Jesus is coming soon. I believe this with all of my heart. Jesus is coming back for those who have trusted him as Savior. The Bible says he's going to descend from heaven. The Bible says that he's going to descend with the voice of the archangel and say, "Come up hither." And those who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the clouds. The Bible says that those who have gone on before, they'll be resurrected. Now, they're with the Lord right now, but the Bible tells us that our bodies are going to be changed, and so will theirs. We're going to have new bodies as we go up to be with the Lord. And he says that we are to be ready for that moment when that takes place. And we are to understand that only those people who have trusted him as Savior are going to go with him up into glory. The Bible says the first thing to seek is the kingdom of God. And then we understand that the first thing to preach is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Well, that's what I preach when I preach and when I come to you on these broadcasts, when you listen to me speak. I let you know that Jesus died for you, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that the Word of God, the first thing to preach is the Word of God, the gospel. Well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." There is no other way to heaven. Baptism is not going to save you. Going to church is not going to save you. Being a Baptist is not going to save you. Being a Pentecostal is not going to save you. Being a Catholic is not going to save you. Being anything other than a child of God, someone who has asked Jesus into his or her heart, that is the only way a person is going to go to heaven. Well, Paul said, "I came to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Romans chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Romans chapter 1 verses 15 and 16 says this, Paul speaking also here, he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Well, the gospel of Christ is for everyone, not just a select few. It is for everyone. So the first thing to do is to seek the kingdom of God, and then the first thing to preach is the gospel. Now notice the first thing to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says there, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Well, the first thing to do to be a partaker is to be a partaker. Now, in order to be a partaker, you must be a laborer. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Are you a laborer with the Lord? Are you winning souls for the Lord? Are you teaching a Sunday school class? Are you doing your part? Are you preaching the Word of God? Are you going on visitation to invite people to your church so they can hear the Word of God? Are you a laborer for the Lord? If you're not, the Bible says that you are not doing the first thing. The first thing you are to do as a saved person is to be a partaker. In order to be a partaker of the fruit, you must first be a laborer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And then, the first thing in worship. It says in Matthew chapter 23, let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 24 where it says this, "Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." You know, oftentimes we look at this verse and we say, well, if we've done something wrong, we need to go confess it to the brother. Well, that's one way to look at it, but let's reverse that around. What if your brother has done something to you and you have aught against him? What if he's done something to you that you don't agree with, or maybe it's hurt you? Well, the Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Well, the Bible teaches me that if someone has done me wrong, that if someone is out of the will of God and I can help them in any way, I need to go to that person and help restore that person back to the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to be saved, but in order that their testimony might be renewed and that they would be able to serve God anew. Help them to get back where they were. And I'll read that verse again in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." The Bible also says, "He that is without sin," and the Bible says, "let him cast the first stone." We're often understanding that, and when someone does something wrong in the churches and in the gospel preaching churches, we often get the idea, well, that rascal, he's getting what he deserved. Let him alone. Don't mess with him. But the Bible says that we are to go to that person and we are to help restore that individual back to a proper relationship with the Lord. Now, it's up to them, of course, to get things right with God. But we should not turn our backs on our brothers and sisters in Christ who have a problem. Well, the first thing in worship is to be reconciled to thy brother, according to Matthew 24. And then the first thing in life. Cleanse first that which is within. Matthew chapter 23 says this, verse 26, the Bible says, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Verse 25 of Matthew 23 says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And what that means is that we get so high and mighty and righteous in our own righteousness that we think we're better than anyone else. That God says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" We need to have the heart that is humble, a heart that is willing to serve God, not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. We need to be ready to help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to go to God when we do something as a safe person to say, "Lord, forgive me." And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God wants to use you today. First, you need to be a saved person. Secondly, if you are saved, he wants you to be clean. He waits and wants you. He's waiting for you to be able to be used of him. And he cannot use a dirty vessel. Fall on your face today and say, "God, forgive me for not serving you." If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It does not cover it. It takes it away. And if you'll admit that you're a sinner today and you want to be saved, you want to go to heaven, the Bible says, "For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to as many as believe on him." And that means you can become a child of God today by trusting him as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.